2 Samuel chapter 1 and from verse 23 to 27. The death of Saul and Jonathan, in particular, Jonathan dying on Mount Gilboa. David is at Ziklag and he hears the news and he issues this lamentation. Saul and Jonathan. In life they were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. And then verse 25. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished. 2 Samuel chapter 1 from verse 23 to 27. Even before that we read about the bow of Jonathan did not turn back from the flesh of the mighty, and so on. But it's this lamentation over Jonathan by David that I want to speak on. Not Saul or David. It's Jonathan, after all, its thoughts on the life of Jonathan. And here is the conclusion, the end of the life of Jonathan. His death on Gilboa. Death is the subject here. Remember, my friend, in less than 35 years, 50% of the world's population that now is will be dead. Jonathan has entered eternity. David is left bereaved and issuing this lamentation. Death. Death is a subject here. The separation of death is a very real thing. Unbeliever, there's a hymn we sing by William Gadsby, or at least I sing it. Pause, my soul, and ask the question. Art thou ready to meet God? There's a line, death is on the road. It's the truth. I speak in love to you. Unbeliever, I speak in love to you. Death is on the road for you. It is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Oh, that's melodramatic. No, it's not. It's the one solid, rooted fact in our existence. The moment we come into the world, we know we must die. Well, we don't know, but it's a fact about us. Are you ready for it? Jonathan dies young. David is bereaved. Is there a bereaved Christian listening to me? Jonathan and David. David and Jonathan have something to teach us here. A warning to the ungodly. But maybe there's comfort, hope, encouragement, warning too, perhaps, out of the life of David and Jonathan. A word, first of all, to the prosperity gospelers. You know, if you please God, all will go well. Both these men have suffered here. Jonathan has been smitten down by the Philistines at an early age. Cut short. His life cut off. Wasted, you might say. David, a young man, loaded with trouble at this time. And this is another burden that comes thick and fast upon him. What would the prosperity gospelers say here? Jonathan dying young, David grieved. According to the prosperity gospelers, both men are ruled out of court. How far out of court, I need them to say. But my answer to them both is nonsense. I can say something about Jonathan's death. I can say things about David's bereavement. But the fact is, we're not to judge the Lord by feeble sense. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan God's works in vain. So sang William Cowper. And it is the truth. We cannot judge the value or the spirituality of a man by the events around him. The prosperity gospelers is utterly wrong in the days of the New Covenant. But I will say that Jonathan was wrong to be with Saul on Gilboa. He should have been with David, in my opinion, at Ziklag. But he had chosen to stay with his father Saul, and when Saul went down in the judgment of God, Jonathan was sucked down with him. And that's a warning to me and a warning to you, brother and sister. There is a place for separation. We can make the wrong choice. I don't want to go to Gilboa with Saul. I'd rather be in Ziklag with David. What about you, my friend? But a closing lamentation for Jonathan. David grieved over him. He loved him spiritually. He was a mighty man, a great man, a godly man. I want to be a godly man. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I appeal to you. We want to be godly, don't we? Jonathan was active for God, wasn't he? Militarily speaking, spiritually speaking. Look how he comforted David, strengthened David, had fellowship with David, tried to strengthen him and did succeed in strengthening his hand in God and his hold upon God. He was a helper. He was a supporter, a comforter. I say he was a godly man, a man of God, a spiritual man. He made his mistakes. But he was a man of common sense and courage. Remember the occasion of the honey in the wood? He was a man of action, not playing at being king or king's son. He went to the Philistines and fought them. You remember how he did not think of his own interest, but preferred David's interest. Spiritual, godly. He helped David. He comforted David. He supported David. Will you be such a brother? Will you be such a sister to other believers today? I appeal to you. I want to be that. I want my works to comfort, to strengthen, to uphold, to help, to build up, to sanctify, to edify, maybe to warn or rebuke other believers. I want them to be used to arouse the ungodly, the unbelievers, to trust Christ. You see, Jonathan was missed here. Oh, Jonathan, I miss you. I love you. I grieve for you. You perished. I was so grieved about it. David missed Jonathan deeply. I want to live today in my preaching, in my teaching, my being with friends, my spiritual life. I want to be living in such a way that when I am God, when I am dead, I will be missed. When I was a schoolmaster, in one school I was at, we had a master there. And I didn't know, I don't know if other people knew, but I didn't know what he did, actually. I couldn't see what role he played. He didn't seem to have a real job. I didn't understand it. He was quite senior. But anyway, he resigned and he moved on to another post. And it was significant. Not many people seemed to regard it or notice it, but I did. His job was not advertised, and he was not replaced. I could never see while he was there what he was doing. But when he left, he was not replaced by another appointment. He was just not missed at all. I want to so live today that I will be missed. David so loved Jonathan, so valued Jonathan, that when Jonathan fell upon Gilboa, David missed him. And so ends these brief thoughts on the life of Jonathan. He was not perfect. He made, I think, a bad mistake in not separating from his father Saul. But he was a man of respect and dignity, a spiritual man, an active man, a godly man, a man who put others' interest above his own. I would say a great man, a good man, not a perfect man. But he stands as a warning, an encouragement, a challenge, and an instruction to me. I hope, unbeliever, that something I've said on the life of Jonathan will provoke you to thought, and more than thought, to come to Christ while there's yet time. And I hope these thoughts on the life of Jonathan may be a blessing to you, believer, encouraging, warning, instructing, comforting, and encouraging you to move on and press on for God. May God get all the glory for any blessing we receive from these few remarks on the life and the times of Jonathan. Amen.